This is the part where we move into predicting the future. I thought we did pretty good last year. Like you said, you give it that. It's probably in that A- range. Not bad. Not bad. And a lot better than some other people. But I also felt, this is going to sound really weird, but last year was pretty easy.
Easy.
There was a lot of... When you're talking about a hardware, there's just a lot of details and things out there. And the question is really, which rumors do you believe? You know what I mean? And I feel like we did a good job of sifting through all of the facts and going, this one sounds credible, this one doesn't. Here's where I think the final picture is. Right? Does that about sound accurate?
Yeah, that's I completely agree with that. Same.
I feel like there isn't as much of that. right now.
there definitely is a drought of rumors. That's
so.
This one's gonna be tough, but
so. Why do you think that is?
I don't.
See, normally, and I think part of the issue is normally there'd be a ton of. Apple-based hardware rumors.
That's number one.
Because March is getting close and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, we spent the first half an hour talking about the iPad 3 and the iPhone 5, you know, both of which people seem severely disappointed with the iPhone 4S for reasons that are inexplicable and because they didn't get their iPhone 5.
I like
mine. And the iPad 3 was clearly coming out in March. Well, now they've changed everything, and we got all the new hardware, and we haven't even gotten the first quarter results. I think that has something to do with it. Like, we don't know how these devices are doing, how they're faring, what's going to be coming of it. And one of the, you know, I thought, you know, it's like that. I predicted it was going to be a teardrop design for the – I agreed with the tier. I bought that rumor, and it was a rumor that was way far out. I think part of what's going on, honestly, I think part of what's going on is you and I have gotten better at ignoring the noise from the rumor mill. And just doing this after a year, I have noticed that there's a lot of rumors that I don't even bother reading anymore because it's just so clearly a rumor. And to me, this is almost impossible to tell if it's true or not. And if it's true, it's almost because it's obviously true. You know, this fits the dynamic of the company. So I think there's still a lot of noise out there. We just gotten to the point where it's like there's tons of rumors about the Apple TV. There are unbelievable numbers of them. But the thing is that we bought so hard into the Apple TV rumors last year that this year I feel like I kind of went in the opposite direction where I didn't pay attention to any of them. So now I'm just going on my gut on what do I think Apple's doing. To me, that's the best way to really get the picture of the ITV. We talk about this with Apple all the time. When they introduce new features in iOS, pay attention for that, the new version of iOS. Pay attention for the feature that doesn't make sense without some other innovation when the phone gets launched. Now, this year was a little bit different in that, you know, we totally thought that Passbook was a big indicator for
NFC,
and it didn't happen.
Which partially explains why Passbook is a non-story.
Yes, exactly. Well, exactly.
Because it doesn't make sense without it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the point of that. And so I guess it's like – so to me, you know, if we're going to talk about Apple or whoever, the question isn't so much – we did best predicting when – we went off of our gut and just kind of listened, but didn't pick particular specific rumors to latch on to. And I feel like that has a lot to do with the reason why it feels like there are fewer rumors out there, it's because we've gotten to the point where rumors just seem stupid now, because they're like, these are so easy to weed through left and right. This has some credible source, this doesn't. This is just a clickbait. This is actually new information, but it's kind of useless for telling what the final product's going to be. You know, and I don't know. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but that's my sense.
I was just feeling lazy, so I'll go with yours. sounds more meaningful.
Perfect.
I was like, no, well, my thing actually was going to be more of, because of the show, I follow more, and so I tend to go less deep on individual things. Was actually my thought. But
that's actually, I think that's, you know, that's another part of it. I don't spend time on it because I know it's not nearly as interesting as what's actually happening.
Yeah, real things.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So, put together, I want to try this first. One article.
Okay.
It was by a guy named Josh Miller, who is he's helping to build Branch, which is a supposedly next generation, conversation tool. I don't have any friends on it, so I can't have any conversations, so I don't know. But sounds cool. He wrote a post on Medium, which is the thing made by the Twitter guys that also made Blogger. It's in the middle of the two, hence the name. He wrote a blog post called 10th Grade Tech Trends, which I love the intro. It says, a few months ago, my 15-year-old sister told me that Snapchat was going to be the next Instagram. Many months before that, she told me that Instagram was being used by her peers as much as Facebook. Both times, I snickered. Yeah. So now he's come back and saw her over the Christmas break and was like, so, little sister, what do you see coming down the pipe? Because clearly you got your pulse on the future,
right?
Which was interesting. So she talked about a couple things. Instagram, she noticed that, this is very fascinating, a lot of her photos were of people, not objects, views, or experiences, which I would argue 90% of, well, I don't know, does a dog count as people? Because most of my photos are of a dog.
He's a character in your life, you know?
Mm. Yeah, but it was just very interesting that the way that the younger generation, tenth grade, I said that, using it for people.
Yeah, I have been chastised on many occasions for using Instagram wrong, because I post cool pictures of fire, and I have been and I have gotten to the point where I've almost broken down and posted real pictures because I'm like, oh. People look at me and mock me because of my pictures, and they're good they're cool pictures. People, please don't judge me so harshly. But okay, now it's kind of a thing though, so I don't know if I can let it go because it's not the sort of thing I can let go very easily.
Yeah.
But
that's why you have Snapchat.
That's fascinating. When I go through my friends' pictures, yeah, the best accounts that you know of my friends that I actually like seeing their pictures are pictures of people and or you know, like I said, characters, dogs, pets, stuff that's going on. Like, yeah. It's interesting.
She said that she tries to stay away from Facebook because it's addicting and you end up getting lost in it and she doesn't like that. So she tries to visit Facebook as infrequently as possible. Which I don't know what that says about Facebook other than they have a really bad brand that they'll probably never get over. But yeah, just weird. I don't know, which I felt that way. Like Facebook can get to a point where, yeah, you never visit the site, but they are your online identity. So they're connected to everything. Everything's feeding into their site, but no one's visiting because they don't want to, which generates a revenue problem for them. But now they're rolling out those third-party site ads, which will solve their problem, so they'll be okay. He asked about instant message. Remember IM? Remember that?
I use it all the time, yes.
Yeah, the kids don't. So
I know.
You are, she goes, when you go on Facebook chat, the people you don't want to talk to are always the ones who immediately chat with you.
oh, no. Oh my gosh. Oh, you just ruined it. You just ruined it. I'm never no longer gonna IM because you know what? That is exactly my experience too. That's you know, and I can't say that's exactly my experience, but a lot of times it's like when I get a text or an IM, I'm like, oh, I don't have time for this. I don't have the energy for this, and like I have to like gear up to get into it. And I like it well enough, and it's a good conversation. I'm glad I'm having those conversations because you know I'm an adult and I can realize that personal communication is important, but I definitely understand that that initial gut sense of, oh, we're instant messaging now. Okay. And yet I use it all the time because it's like, you know, I'm too old to know better. You just ruined instant messaging for me. That's fantastic. Okay. Now I'm gonna have to figure out how to do other stuff, how to communicate otherwise.
So what they do
Yeah.
is they
Perfect.
use like iOS apps, iMessage, Snapchat. She does say though that they use Facebook Message fairly often as a way to send asynchronous messages. In other words, email for adolescents.
Interesting.
And so his whole thing was like he wonders if Facebook could create an email product, basically that would take a lot of share from Gmail and Yahoo and such, for when her demographic reaches college, which seems to be about the time when people get into email for real.
I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna give it a big fat. I'm
Yeah,
gonna.
probably not.
I don't think any solution that Facebook comes up for email will look anything like email. Now they might figure out a way to redivert all communications. The classic story I tell is when you know when I was in my fraternity, the head of Greek life was a former sorority girl because you have to be you know a sorority, and so she had that personality. It comes with being a sorority girl and just, you know, super social, yeah, bubbly. And and she liked Facebook because Facebook was still relatively new. It was only a couple years old. And the president, I think it was my junior year, we were talking and he's like, somebody was complaining about the fact we can't get Brianne's attention. She's not responding to any emails. And he goes, have you posted on her Facebook wall yet? I'm like, dude, this is like real business. He goes, just trust me. 5 minutes later, it was
Nice.
taken care of. She was checking Facebook and not her email. And you're just like, what the heck? Like, but that's, you know, but my point is, they're not going to come up with an email solution. They're not going to brand it as an email solution. They might have already been the solution. It is what it is. It's Facebook messaging.
I
And
still
they don't.
wish, I mean, the issue is going to be attachments, but I don't know, maybe with stuff like Google Drive that where you
Well, do
can.
you have to do? I was gonna say, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you have to. I mean, I don't know. It's because what Facebook wants you to do is they want you to upload your attachment, whether it's a photo or whatever. I guess the only attachments, I guess, like any real attachments, you can't do. Maybe you can though, because they have an email service. I have a Facebook email account. I don't have
Yeah, but
any
that
idea what it
goes into
is.
their message thing.
Yeah,
Dude, I
but
don't know. I don't know.
can you? I gotta believe you. Oh, you know what? We should try that out. Not
I
right now,
still
but.
think that Facebook is missing a big opportunity by not focusing on productivity apps.
I
And,
agree.
you know, where Google obviously has and is now tacking on the social side of it, which I think is smart. But I don't know. He did say that he tried to send her something over email and she couldn't even remember her Gmail password, which I'm like, whoa.
That's a young person thing, though. That's
Yeah.
definitely, I don't know if that's as true as it needs to be. I mean, that's a young person thing.
Then she still maintained that Snapchat is like still super high usage. She goes, this is kind of funny. It's a way to connect with friends when you don't really have anything to say. Or, in my words, if traditional messaging is functional, communicating with a purpose, like what time do you want to meet for a movie, Snapchat is the opposite, whatever that is.
That's just okay. I'm gonna say something controversial here. That's such a chick thing. That feels like a chick thing. And I say that fully acknowledging the fact that I have had a blast with it for like the last week, and I think it's really cool. And I think it's the future of communication. At least aspects of it are the future of communication. But that idea of we just want to chat, oh, say hi, you know, and that feels like a chick thing, especially young girl. I don't imagine many high school boys Snapchatting each other during class. just the thought of that is really funny, actually. actually. I feel like you have to have gotten to a. I feel like you have gotten had to gotten into college, late college, where you're comfortable enough with your coolness, where you can, as a man, you can finally start to use something like Snapchat for any, despite its stupidity, and not be too cool for it. I doubt there are very many 15-year-old boys who Snapchat other 15-year-old boys. They probably do it with their girlfriends, but that's because, you know, we all turn into,
yeah,
you know, nothingness when.
He asked about Tumblr, and it was kind of funny. She, he wrote a lot here. I'm trying to think about how to say it. Basically, she was like, "Tumblr's dumb. It's mostly used by middle schoolers, especially hipsters. They just reblog stuff." And this guy, he likes Tumblr, and he was just like, "Oh man."
That's true, though. I mean, that's my feeling.
Yeah, and so basically, he was like, how do I want to say it? For her, Tumblr is like what MySpace was for him in high school.
Right.
And so he's like, dang it, Tumblr is not going to last. That's a shame. Which I'm like, and I mean, and it has that open feel, just like MySpace does, where you can customize the page the way you want and do all that stuff, and you're just like, well, we'll see.
It's interesting how that doesn't that ability to highly customizable isn't what people want, really. I mean, and it's funny. I think you know, people whine and complain about the fact that the iPhone isn't opening. It's still the best selling phone in the world, and because there's a certain amount of the reason why every restaurant isn't like Subway is because you don't know what tastes good. Like, I'm a really big advocate of the fact that most people want to be told what tastes good. And people aren't actually as satisfied when they start going and ordering all their really special stuff. Like, there are very few places where you go and order custom stuff. Starbucks and Subway are the two that I can think of. Outside of that, it's like you go and order number four. Maybe you order it without cheese. That's what I get at McDonald's, two hamburgers. I said that, and all of a sudden thought about it and was like, oh, wow, that was but I guess my point is I deeply believe that people don't know what they like, or at least should admit the fact that there are people that are better at telling you what will make you happy than you, and if you can just trust somebody else – and pick the right person to trust and trust them, you will be happier and more satisfied, which is why Facebook beat MySpace, is because you can't customize it, ironically. It doesn't allow you to express yourself, so people like it more. And I think it's partly because we don't like how other people express themselves.
Right, yeah, that's the trick right there.
You know, and...
So they took it to the other side where he was. He asked about Twitter, you know, something that's also, there's very little customization, if any. She basically had nothing to say. She was like, nah, I don't get it. So he's like, all right.
That's awesome. Nobody has ever gotten Twitter. I love Twitter for that reason. I mean, like, people who get Twitter get it, but if you are not part of Twitter, there is still that question of, why would I share 140 characters of information? Why would I read what other people say? I don't understand this.
Well, and he talks about link discovery, which at her age, she doesn't even care about.
I'm going to say that's the thing, is that the reason why it's taken off and it's such a big deal is because it's the fastest evolving news source in the world. It's basically a collection. It is the biggest collection of what's happening right now. Okay, what's happening right now? Okay, what's happening right now? And they trend, and it's the trends. It's the combination allows you to basically, you know, you've got, on one hand, you have your tracking what your friends are saying, which is one of the reasons I use it. And the other is the trends. It's, this is what's going on in the world. This is what people care about. And that's a really, I mean, that's a valuable thing. They, you know, it is literally a crowdsourced, this is what's happening right now. And then there's all sorts of different tools to weed through it and figure out what's actually the most important. And, you know, but that's why it matters, is because it's an input for, you know, instantaneous snapshots, continuous instantaneous snapshots. And the only way to make it functional was to make it 140 characters or less, which they did on accident. You know, I think, you know, given unlimited technology, they would have allowed you to write paragraphs and paragraphs. But that's the reason. But the reason why it is what it is because it's 140 characters less. You literally can only give a snapshot of this is what's happening. I don't know. I get it. I like it a lot, but I can see why a 15, 12, 15 year old wouldn't.
All right, that's all I got. So
let's do this, man.
I think we have half an hour. We have put it off long enough.
I'm not even nervous anymore. I'm raring to go.
Oh, good. Because I'm
Google. Let's talk about this. I'm ready. Let's jump. We talked about Apple right. first last time.
So Google. I'm gonna let you lead the charge since I led the charge on the other ones.
All right. I got four big products that I think are going to be a big deal this year: Google Goggles, Android 5.0, Nexus, and Google Plus. Okay. Boom, 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 boom. My thoughts on Google Goggles: we're going to get the first prototypes. Developers are going to get them in their hands. They're going to start doing stuff.
That's right.
And there's just going to be there's going to be a cacophony of buzz of everybody talking about how this is the future. This is incredible. This is beautiful. And the only worry that anybody will have is going to be the price. But they already took that out of the play by saying, we're gonna be launching the expensive developer version, and then we're gonna have a lower price version a year later. Now they're gonna have to take features and abilities away in order to get the lower price, but nobody's gonna talk about that. All they're gonna talk about is this incredible machine that you wear on your head that gives you all sorts of really cool functionality, and developers are gonna start building incredible apps for it. And I think what you're really gonna see is a lot of buzz. People are going to be genuinely excited about it, even though there's not going to be any actual application or use for it. But it's going to be at a tenor pitch coming into 2014, I think. I really doubt that they're doing it right. They're basically saying, we're going to sell this incredibly high-end device with no subsidy, and then we're going to make a lower-end device with a subsidy and use the energy that was developed by the really cool device to sell the pretty cool device. and what they're hoping is that over the course of 2 years, technology will catch up enough where that will be sufficient. It'll be 90% of the expense of one at a quarter of the cost.
I'm really hoping that they have spent this last year getting a lot of those initial bugs and raw product features out of the way, you know, because right. when they first released Android, I mean, it was rough,
right?
Not smooth at all. And they have iterated and improved over time. It's taken them a lot of years, and I think they've also learned a lot from that Android experience that they're applying to the phone. But I think it's like you said, it's going to be one that is going to have a lot of excitement and potential, and it's not going to be realized next year.
No payoff. I think Android 5.0. Oh yeah, of course. Duh. Android 5.0 is it's going to come. I don't know what the big feature is going to be. That's difficult. You know, once again, tons of new APIs and stuff. But clearly, one of the things that Google has been pushing for is the idea of getting everybody. You know, I think they drew a line in the sand at Android 3.0 where we're going to try to do what Apple does, where there's a continuation and forward compatibility in a lot of these operating systems. And that's going to be a really big deal, I think, in Android 5.0 to 4.0, is the goal that they want to be – they're going to – as soon as 5.0 comes out, 4.0 is just going to disappear. They want 4.0 to go away because everybody's going to update to 5.0. Mm. They want the iOS 6 effect or the iOS release effect. I think that's going to be a big thing. It's not necessarily going to be what it is as a standalone product, but what it does to Android 4.0 that's going to be the bigger of the two deals. Okay. And
so just further refinement, they'll add some features. Nothing like whoa.
Yeah, there's nothing coming down the pike.
It's rough with phones because I'm going to say something I'm going to regret later. from a hardware perspective, it seems to be a maturing market.
Right.
Except for the area of touchscreens becoming smarter or adding dimensions of touch, whether it's texture.
Yeah, haptic feedback stuff.
Something like that. Yeah. Right. You know, if you add those, okay, now all of a sudden it's a different device.
Right.
Do you think they'll... any phones will have something like that?
I could see the first commercial haptic feedback, you know, whether it's texture or whatever. I should say I hope to see it. I really hope to see it this year. I don't think they're going to sell well. I don't think they're going to hit any sort of popularity, and it may not even happen in 2013. But I really do hope to see it.
Like we'll see something at CES, and they'll be like, yeah. And it's coming. You're like, okay, we're still waiting.
Well, you know what? Okay, this is what I'm going to say is going to happen. This is my prediction.
All right.
I think some small manufacturer out of Russia is going to try to be the first or something like that. You know, it's like that one. Some company just announced a phone that has a regular touchscreen LED on one side and an e-reader on the back. They're going to do something like that where it's going to be some company that's just trying to get it out there first. I don't think any of the big boys are going to get into it. Samsung, Google, Google, HTC, Motorola, Apple. I think they're all going to play it safe. But I think somebody's going to do it. So I'm going to say yes. Somebody will create some sort of commercially available haptic feedback phone in 2013.
Okay.
I'm a little bit nervous about saying that. And I think it's going to be an Android-based phone because it gives people the flexibility to write the code for the hardware that's required. Yeah, and who else would you do it for, Apple?
in order for a company to do that, Android would have to provide the APIs and the software to interpret it.
They could. It's technically an open source thing. You treat it like a peripheral. I think you could. I think somebody could do it. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I don't think it's going to be one of the big players, but I think somebody will in a commercial capacity. I think Nexus, you're going to see some really cool, I think that's where you're going to see the most exciting innovations, just overall performance, any new features that really come, you know, okay, I'm going to take a step back. If a big player does it, it's going to be Nexus. It's going to be a Nexus phone that introduces the new feature.
Right.
And it's going to be a big deal. I don't think so. That my gut feeling is not that. But at the same time, it's clear everybody kind of wants to figure out how to do that. So if it's not 2013, it's going to be 2014. So that one of the big guys finally steps up to bat. So I'm going to go with a small nobody's going to do it in 2013. The Nexus will do it in 2014. And others will follow. Apple will do it, and will think it's the dumbest thing in the world until 2015, and then they'll figure out how to do it right. And if, as they will claim, we really studied what they were doing, and we still think they're doing it horrible. Now here's our clone, and this is why it's the only real solution.
Well, and that's the real test of Tim Cook, where in my opinion, if it were Steve Jobs, he'd go, this is cool. Let's figure out how to get this integrated. And if they don't do it, the reason is just they couldn't get the technology to work up to his level for the price that they're talking about selling it. I still don't know what kind of thought process Tim Cook goes through. Does he see those cool technologies and go, yeah, that's really cool. Let's figure out how to do this. No, figure it out. No, figure it out. You know, or does he go... perfect. Yeah, we ran some studies, we ran some tests, did some product things. Yeah, it hasn't worked out yet. No big deal. You know, right. we'll keep on the product map timeline.
Right. And yeah, that's a good question. So I don't really know. I think Google Plus, you'll see deeper and deeper integration and people getting more and more upset about the fact that they can't have secret identities online. I think that it was a loud one. my soundproof room.
It's the audience interaction.
I don't know. I mean, I think Google Plus, I think Google Plus is going to really kind of stay the course of what it's been doing, how yep. it's been doing it, and
I would really like to see them open up some sort of
import.
Yeah, not necessarily an import from Twitter, but give me better ways to send Google Plus information and yeah. to get Google Plus information out. I would like to see a better API, I guess, because yeah. there are a bunch of third-party tools that I would like to use with it, and it just isn't – it's very limited.
Right, and it's funny. To me, it's like I want a Facebook – I want a Google Plus Messenger. Like there's a Facebook Messenger app for,
yeah, that'd be cool.
for the iPhone. And there is some integration like that in the iPhone app, but yep. I think there's things that they – I think the Google Plus app is going to get better and better and better. If there was – if I had to make a prediction of what the future of Google Plus is going to be over the next year, I think it's going to be major improvements in that. We've seen huge improvements over the last year. Better features, cooler features, better way of doing things. I think you're going to continue to see that evolution, and hopefully it gets better and better to the point where it kind of becomes like, you know, it's how you message, it's how you video chat. It, you know, it's a secondary device, and that ideally would be great for me.
You think they'll make any inroads into Facebook and what they got going on?
No,
me neither.
Although they are identical in so many ways, they feel like they have their own territory. At least for me, a lot of it has to do with who's connected to what networks and why, you know? And although there is crossover, I feel like their roles in my life is pretty well defined. And if it's pretty well defined in my life, that means it's pretty well defined in everybody's life. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can rest on your strengths, I don't think either one is going to really be, you know, it's going to find any inroads into the other. And by inroad, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a place for Google there. I think if the Google Plus app could become this kind of central universe of your – you know, Google Drive, you know, Gmail, YouTube on your iPhone, and just have different Google Plus apps like Facebook has, where everything's integrated into the one hub, and then you have these breakout apps for better usage. I think that would be nice, and I could see them moving down that way. I don't necessarily think that they're going to have a bunch of breakout apps, but I think you'll see Google Plus continue to improve and get better and more useful. You know, especially as being the hub of your Google universe on your iPhone. Yeah, that's what I think. I don't know. What do you think about Google this year?
You know, I thought they had a strong year, and I think they'll just keep going. There's going to be some products that they're going to kill that I'm going to be upset about.
Like what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on, make a prediction.
Well, no, I don't. I just know that they're going to kill something that I use that I'm going to be like, come on, Google, like yeah. Reader.
Google, you know, yeah.
I don't
oh
think,
my god.
I don't think they
oh
will.
Oh my goodness.
I don't
I
think
even
they will.
Thought about
but,
that.
Man, I
but
get
they
scared.
Could. Yeah.
I get scared. I'll be honest.
It is the most terrifying part about Google, though. Oh
I know.
Goodness.
I use it, and well, there was other ones like Notebook. I use that all the time, and it's gone now. And they yeah. put it in the drive, and you're like, okay, I guess. But it's been okay. Not nearly as awesome as it was. I'm trying to think, like, they got some pretty big projects they're working on right now. Goggles, self-driving cars, Android, and, you know, and with Android, the ecosystem of the Nexus tablets and phones and things like that. I'm just trying to think, you know, are they going to keep the consolidating and the focus, or are they also going to try germinating a couple other fun little projects?
I bet they have a list of these are our core competencies. We want them to be all tethered. And then they've got other cool, crazy projects that they're working on. And I'll bet
yeah.
some more will crop up this year and everybody will get really super excited about it. And, mm-hmm. you know, we'll talk about how it's the future of everything. Oh, Google Fiber. Jeez, almost didn't talk about that one. They're going to bring it to a couple more cities, maybe two or three.
Yeah.
And you're going to start to see the trend of, ISPs responding to that. Nothing really big outside of that, though.
Right.
I doubt it's going to be any big cities. I doubt you're going to see any real competition. That one's going to take longer because it's an infrastructure project, and those take way longer than, you know, tech development, you know, silicon development, really.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be that one would be fun to watch, but it's not going to do anything more than, you know, like you said, be a tease.
Yep.
I think that's Google this year. That's my prediction.
I would agree.
All right, chief competitor, Apple.
I was wondering who you were going to say there.
I know.
What are they going to do? They're going to continue rolling out Retina. I'm fairly confident that it's going to come to the iPad Mini. I don't know what else you do.
I guarantee it. So this is my thought on the iPad Mini. iPad Mini is going to sell – it has sold a gazillion devices. It's going to be astounding come January 1 how many they've sold. Their stock is going to get all crazy because of it, especially if we ever figure out this fiscal cliff thing. Yeah. And their stock is going to respond like nuts. And it's going to be – and it's going to be all driven by the iPad Mini. And I think they're on this new product cycle. I really think they're going to stick with it this year, where everything comes out right before Q4. There's not going to be a big announcement in March. Anybody who's saying that is stupid.
Really?
And don't listen to them. No, I don't think so. Well, wait. I'm going to hedge. I think there will be a new product announced in March. I don't know what it is.
So you're not. You don't think they're going to revamp the iPad again?
No.
I thought it was pretty fast the first time around.
I was going to say, the iPad, there'll be a fifth generation iPad in September. And just like there'll be a sixth generation iPhone and a second generation iPad mini and a 7,000th generation iPod and a new they'll refresh the line. The new thing, the new trend is refresh right before Christmas, which makes sense because they're a consumer electronics company. They sell Christmas presents. I think what you're going to really see and that for their pillar products, iPhone, iPad, Mac, iPod, those are all going to continue to be right before Q4. The iPad mini, in my opinion, Retina display, they kept the iPad 2 resolution display so that you didn't have to make any new apps. It was a good decision because all the apps are already native. Now they've got a consumer use. People like it. And now they're going to be able to sell it on the idea of it's got such a big user base, it'll be worth app developers' time to develop for this new screen size. So they are going to expand the ecosystem to include a new screen size, which we didn't think they would, and that was the reason why we didn't think they'd bring in a new app. Now we didn't, or a new tablet. You know, we didn't guess that they'd have the same resolution as the iPad 2. It'd run iPad 2 apps, but I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to say it's time. They showed that they can do that with the iPhone, and developers respond very quickly and very effectively. And sometimes it still seems like magic how they're able to do it. I don't understand. Like, you know, it's just like I played this game on my iPod Touch for years, and it's the exact same size. Like, it seems like it's – how did this happen? And I think that's what's going to happen with the iPad mini. I think they'll keep around. So the real question to me is, do you kill the first-gen iPad mini and keep the $330 price tag with the HD iPad mini? Or do you do what they always do, which is keep around the iPad mini for $100 less with the HD iPad mini? Or do you keep the $330 iPad mini and the HD iPad mini is $430. That's the question. What's your prediction?
I think they'll drop the price. I don't know if it'll be a full 100, but they could do it by $50 or
easily
something like that.
Yeah, which is what we said the first week it came out, and I'm still sticking with that. I think they're going to keep it around, and yeah, because it doesn't take any extra additional development. The iPad 2 is there. And it's been developed for, you know. And I think they're going to keep the iPad 2 around with you know, they'll have the super low end iPad 2, the iPad 3, and the iPad 4. No, that doesn't work. They don't do that already.
What are you doing?
I was going to say, there's too many iPads. I always thought they were going to do what they do with the iPhone, where they have three generations of the iPhone live at any given generation. But they already don't do that. Crazy people. They're crazy. I think there's an impetus to get rid of the iPad.
Well, I think that Generation 4 was so close to Generation 3 that it really should have been Generation 3.5. And
right.
That's why
basically
they
just said the mini dock connector.
Yeah, I don't, for whatever reason, and I don't fully understand why they just, I don't know why they did the mid. I honestly don't understand why they did the mid-year update, because it would have been like, you should have just skipped the March one if you knew you were coming out with that one, other than everyone was expecting it. I just don't understand.
I think that they saw the writing on the wall for the iPad, and they said, we just gotta. They needed to do it at some point. They couldn't wait. They couldn't wait a year and a half to refresh it, and they couldn't. You know, because they were gonna skip the. They had to skip this March. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't a big enough product. They wanted to sell more of them, and they absolutely needed to standardize the new Thunderbolt connector. And I think it was. I don't know. It made sense to me. It makes sense to me from a timing perspective. And pretty much the only difference is it has a Thunderbolt. I was talking with somebody just last week about they've got the fourth generation iPad. You mean they'll have it? No. They launched one in September. They're like, no, they didn't. They launched the iPad Mini. No, they really did. They launched an iPad with the iPad Mini. I'm like, I had to look it up, and they're like, wow, there's a new iPad. Like, yeah, I know. Like, that's the thing. And which is what Apple wanted, right? They just wanted it to be kind of a, ooh, and now this is here. You know, and now the iPads are going to be more like the MacBooks, where the general population doesn't really pay attention to new launches. They come in, and there's either a new one or there's not.
Right.
And you know, mission accomplished. Now it's a, you know, I think that they have to get away from that with the iPhones. That is the biggest problem they have right now, is that they every year that they have to come out with a new number. And I think, I'm hoping that this year the new iPhone would be the new iPhone.
I don't think so. I think it's going to have a number.
You don't think so?
No.
Which is crazy.
And I think it's
going to
be like a 5S.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why they don't do that with any other product except the iPhone. And they've already moved away from that with the iPad. Like, that's clearly Steve Jobs decided that was a mistake that didn't help sell the product. It raises expectations, and it frustrates people. I think when you
phones are of the such where you are expected to buy a new phone every couple of years, and just because of the nature of the phone industry. And so they keep them different names so that it's very clear what generation you have and how far behind you are. Plus, as you have already stated, they do like to keep multiple generations back at all the different price points going down. And that just makes it that much clearer to the customer what it is that they're buying.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to take away. Luckily, I didn't say I'm predicting that they won't call it the iPhone 6.
I could be wrong, but that's what I think.
But, you know, nah, that's a good. It's a good argument. It's a good argument for what they're doing, and at least that segregation thing. Because it does, all of a sudden, there is no segregation. There's no difference between the iPhone 4 or the iPad 4 and the iPad 3 in most people's mind.
Right.
One has the mini dock and the other doesn't. That's the only difference. It is the iPad 3, literally, in a lot of people's case. They don't even realize there's a fourth one.
Right, so it's the Retina iPad, which will be interesting because I think they're going to refresh it again, you know, eventually next year. We're thinking same time frame,
September.
October. And, you know, which I'm presumably they're going to get rid of the iPad 2, be my guess. I mean, I don't think why.
So. I think they'll keep it around and keep dropping another $50.
Hmm. Okay.
I think it'll get really close to the iPad. I think the iPad Mini comes down $50. The iPad 2 comes down $50, and the iPad Mini HD stays at the $330 price point.
They wouldn't do an iPad Mini HD. Well, they do Retina. That's their word.
Right. Oh, that's what I mean when I say HD. I mean,
I still think it's crazy that they call it the MacBook Pro with Retina display. Like, what?
That's such a mouthful.
Just get rid of the non-Retina and just call it a MacBook Pro.
Right. Just have it be. But yeah. I don't know. That sums it up. Any cool new features for the iPhone? iPhone 5, 6, 5S, whatever.
I'd still like to see NFC. I still think that there's something there for it.
I don't know what they're waiting for. I can't figure out what they're waiting for. I guess I thought we had solved that problem, but obviously we were wrong.
I feel like I don't know. They added a gyroscope already, which maybe that's because that was just easy.
Oh, that's super easy.
But you know, but I'm just like, why gyroscope but not NFC? Are they waiting for some other technology? I don't know. I'd love to see them do the haptic touch, but we already mentioned that where we don't think they will. I mean, their phone too. They obviously put a premium on weight and thickness, size,
thinness, yeah,
over features.
Right.
Which
is classic Apple.
Yeah, which is what it is. So I could see it get a little bigger because of the NFC piece of it. I'm gonna put it out there. I think they're gonna add it. I also okay. What do you think about the wireless charging?
I don't think it's gonna happen. I think they're waiting for really reliable long distance charging up to 5 feet. There's already technology out there that proves it's possible. It's not impossible for any reason. But I think they won't do it until you can literally be standing across the room and charge your phone. As long as the pad's there, in their opinion, there's no real advantage to not plugging it in as opposed to just sitting on a pad. If it still has to get within this little 5-inch square that's attached to a wall,
it's almost less flexible, really.
Yeah, why not just plug it in? You get better efficiencies, it charges faster, and it's like 90% or 90% less cool is really the biggest distraction. And most people I know don't take advantage of wireless charging with their cool smartphones. So it's like, you know, I don't think they're horribly wrong on that. I think they're waiting for a significant improvement in strong magnetic coupling, as it's called, which it's a proven technology in labs and in demos. It's not a proven technology as a consumer good. I think it's the perfect thing for Apple to pioneer because it's the kind of technology. It's a manufacturing thing that will really send it over the edge. I think there's some technology, but the science has really been done. Now it's figuring out how to manufacture it at scale, how to get your own patent so you don't have to pay out the nose for other people's. And it's the kind of thing that Apple can do. I don't know if they will do it. I don't think they'll do it this year. If it happens, it'll be 2014. I've been thoroughly depressed by all cool Apple adventures that they could go on with batteries and they don't go on.
And so, I think
I'm not
going to
be disappointed again this year.
We won't see a bunch of... I think the hardware is going to be fairly static, and I think another reason why is because the man in charge of the design is now paying attention to software.
Yeah, that's going to be the cool place to see. There's going to be an overhaul in a lot of how the software looks and feels and operates. I am very excited to see that. And Apple Maps is going to continue to be Apple Maps. This is continue to be good. You know what? Friday
continue
night.
Continue to improve. Let's say that.
Yes. Okay. So Friday night, I was given an address. I was texted an address. I put it into Google Maps because, you know, who uses Apple Maps? And Google Maps couldn't find it. Put it into Apple Maps. Apple Maps could find it.
Huh.
It's which is really rare. I realize that there's like that happens like once ever, but but the fact is that I actually use Apple Maps a lot because I like using Siri. and I can't switch it over to Google Maps. But in my opinion, it works great. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And I realize it's because I'm part of the 99%, or rather the 90% of people that live in cities that are completely pleased by Apple Maps. I'm not part of that 10%, that allowed at 10% that helped the people who wanted to find a problem find a problem. But that's the point. It's fine. It works good. You know, well, whatever. But so the big question with Apple, this is always the fun one. There has to be a new piece of hardware. What will it be? Well, it doesn't have to be, but there could be. What do we think it will be?
Well, they're obviously going to do something with their MacBooks. Probably focus on the Air.
No. I want new hardware. iPad, iPhone,
that's
Mac.
All old.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's two choices here. Yeah. There's the one of intense interest, the
ITV,
the television. Yeah. And then there's the goggles, which is interesting to me.
I've heard talk about a watch. Them coming out with a really slick watch. They realized
that's
what?
So dumb.
No. They sold so many of those stupid iPod minis because of the watch functionality, and that's the only reason why people bought them, is because they worked as a watch in large.
And that's probably why they discontinued. They were like, it's just a watch. We're not in that business.
See, I think that there's potential there. A really slick looking Johnny Ives designs a really cool looking watch that has has a long lasting screen, has Bluetooth, syncs with your iPhone, and plays.
It's a Pebble. That's called the Pebble, and I'm getting one eventually.
That's my point. Is that there are products out there that people like, and it's the sort of thing that Apple could sell a bazillion of them if they looked really nice and costed an arm and a leg.
No.
Because people buy. Fine.
You can think that, but you're wrong.
All right. I don't really think so either.
And I'll tell you
this
again.
Because I like watches. See, you like Google goggles. I like watches. You know what? I think, okay, controversial prediction here. I don't think Apple's going to come out with anything crazy cool. I think there'll be great software improvements. I think there'll be hardware improvements that make sense. I don't think there's going to be a new category of device. I don't think Apple TV is going to happen, ITV is going to happen this year. Or they might do something big, but it'll happen with the Apple TV. I just, all this rumor, I think they keep having people build them large panel displays, large pieces of glass, and they keep going, that's not right. You know, I think they keep working on it and hacking away at it. I think they want to do something with it, but the real problem is that it's not good enough to build a piece of glass. Lots of people build really beautiful pieces of glass. The trick is, how does Apple's core competencies justify a new piece of hardware? What could only they could do that modern TVs can't do when coupled with an Apple TV is the question. That's when they're going to build a new piece of hardware in TV space. And nobody has convinced me that they are able to leverage their size, weight, and power to get the TV, the telecoms onto the board.
And the other issue, once again, is that their head designer, really smart guy, is focused on software right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen. Okay. I don't think it's going to happen this year. And I don't think there's going to be any cool hardware. Now, hopefully I'm wrong, because it's way more exciting when there is hardware. But, there might be size changes and stuff, but no new category. Mm. Especially with the iPad mini this year, man. The iPad mini was their big new category of device this year, and it still has an entire year of being a juggernaut. And then it's because that's the other thing, is it's like, you know, they're not gonna, I don't think they're gonna launch anything in March that's crazy cool that's gonna take interest away from the iPad mini, because it's selling so well, and it's like the perfect time to really put Microsoft in its place. And I don't know. I just don't feel like – I don't get the sense that anything's coming in March, which is She's not very. At the same time, part of the reason why Apple succeeds is because they do new stuff in March. So it's like, what haven't they refreshed?
Well,
they refreshed
the problem is that it's still being led by a new leader who we haven't quite figured out how he works yet.
Right.
And we just, I honestly can't tell you if he's the kind of guy who's going to push forward with something. Either because A, he's interested in it and wants to keep pushing forward. B, because he has put a timeline out there and, by gosh, you got to stick to the timeline. Or if he's more of, you know, little risk adverse, because he's going, man, we've got, you know, how do I want to say this? He was doing one of his interviews, and he asked him, you know, how are you going to stay innovative? And, you know, his response was, Apple makes the majority of its revenues from products that didn't exist 2 months ago. He's like, we innovate, and now a majority of our revenues come from devices that are brand new. And I was like, yeah, okay, sure, they're brand new, but they're all iterative off of devices you already knew were good. There was no risk there. So in Tim Cook's eye, and I honestly could not tell if that was just a marketing spin that he puts onto it, or if he genuinely believed that they were new products and they were being innovative. You know, not category wise. You know, of course he would go iPad Mini. You know, that's right. Totally new category. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's an iPad that's smaller. That's like saying the Air is a new category of laptops. No. And so I just feel like, I don't know if that's his opinion of being inventive and bringing out new products. Like, yeah, you're right. You're not going to see anything.
You are, and I don't think it has. I don't think that's because that's Tim Cook's attitude. I think the iPad Mini is actually a new category of device as far as Apple's concerned, and I don't think that's entirely unfair. I mean, you know, what was the iPad except a supersized iPod Touch? You know what I mean? And
well, except you got a whole new class of apps with it, and the iPad Mini is just downsized version of the same apps.
Yeah, but they're still selling like crazy. I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's fine. They could sell like crazy. Apple did not dominate the iPod market until they came out with the iPod Nano or whatever it was. That was the thing that suddenly put Apple way out ahead of everyone else. The Classic, yeah, it was popular, but it wasn't what the Nano did. And they're doing the exact same thing with this, where they made a smaller version of it, and it is selling like crazy.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I'm just not feeling an Apple TV this year. I can't see it. I don't think they're not gonna preempt Google on a goggle solution.
No.
And they're not gonna. You know, I'll bet I could see new software come out in March. That's about the only thing I could see. A new software suite, something to try to get people excited and interested again, which would totally make sense because that's what Johnny Ives is paying attention to now. But I don't know.
That'd be fast. We'll see. But yeah, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's next on your list?
So Samsung, I don't know. We kind of covered that with Google. They're so predictable in what they do. They just make a ton of different devices. Some of them really high end, some of them mid, some of them low, and they just see what sticks.
No, keep making fun of Apple along the way. Yep,
man. Okay. Thanks, Samsung. That wasn't very much fun. Sorry. I don't think you're going to see anything earth-shattering. I do think you'll see another quarter of them being the best-selling phone. I do believe that they've separated themselves from the pack from a branding perspective. And I think that as you get closer to the iPhone 5S, you'll see them pop again and it'll be even by a bigger margin than it was last year, in 2012. I do think you'll see that again, where clearly they're going to be coming into the place of they're selling nearly as many of their high-end phones as Apple is selling of their iPhones. You know, and by nearly, I mean they're not distant second place. They're clearly second place over the course of a year, or the life cycle of the product. But it's not going to be nearly as big of a second player. The gap won't be nearly as big as it has in the past. is what I see coming out of Samsung. And that's just that has a lot to do with improvements. It's improvements in Android coupled with the branding of Samsung. And, you know, they're just going to ride that way for a while. And congratulations, you guys did it. Woohoo! I don't think they're going to come up with a tablet solution that's going to challenge anything. I think the Nexus 7 and the 10. Kindle Fire, your Android tablet winners. But gaming, let's talk about gaming. What exciting stuff is coming this year? You have any thoughts on that?
No. So Nintendo obviously just did their new Nintendo Wii U, so they're going to keep doing that. SimCity 5 is going to be amazing. Microsoft, I think they'll start talking about a new hardware thing, not actually release it.
So I think the big one, Steam is going to launch a new piece of hardware.
Yep.
Or not Steam, but what's the name of that company?
Valve
is going to launch a new piece of hardware that runs Steam. It's going to be a computer for your TV, but it's going to be, you know, basically just run Steam. I think it's going to be pretty successful. I think it's going to be like the original Xbox successful, where it clearly will enter the market. People are going to like it. People are going to buy it. It's not going to trump anything, but it's going to be a mover and shaker, and I think it's going to worry some of the stalwarts. I think it's something for Nintendo except Nintendo doesn't compete with them on types of games, but you know, it's Steam could really make some serious inroads in a very quick period of time, if for no other reason than you already own the games.
Sure.
It's something that I could see buying, like, honestly, like, you know, if I wanted to play games on my TV, I probably won't have a really big TV in a couple of months anymore, so that'd be a stupid investment. But but I could see how a lot of people would be willing to make that investment pretty easily, and especially if it comes at an affordable price point. That'll be the real big question. I think it will be rather affordable, but it's going to be in the same ballpark as any other system that's out there. Cheaper than Sony, not as or more expensive than Nintendo. I don't know, what are you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, outside of that, I think the only big things you're gonna see this year are games. You know, games are gonna keep getting bigger and selling more money and continue being the biggest area of entertainment revenue. I think Nintendo is gonna have some big hits. I think Microsoft, you know, I don't know what will be the big hit this year. I guess E3 will really be the time to tell, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You know, one of the things here that I think underpins a lot of what we're seeing is the economy.
Yeah.
So I'll put on my economist hat for a little bit here. I don't think it's going to get much better in 2013. Sorry.
Don't say that.
All the data that I see is it's flat. And you look at what, you know, we have a very intimate view of the United States because we live here, so we pay attention to that data. You know, where the Fed is continuing to their quantitative easing, which basically means pumping tons of money into the economy, keeping interest rates low and things like that. And they're pretty much like no end in sight is what they've said. It used to be they put a time limit on it. They haven't. They've taken that off. Which says to me, they don't know when it's going to end. They're just like, yeah, man, let's hope that we can hold on long enough. And, you know, is the game that they're playing. And we're doing this whole fiscal cliff thing, which from a federal budget standpoint, we need to cut expenses and raise taxes to help pay off some of our debt. The shock to the economy is going to be a little rough. Though I saw this graph that this guy said that pretty much if the federal government stopped spending money and all they did was pay off the debt, it would take them over 100 years to pay it off with our current revenue amount, which are just like, this is so much debt.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's great to hear. So I guess we'll be raising taxes then. Okay.
Yeah.
Can we move on now?
So the all right. So the point though is I don't think we're going to see another like I don't think we're going to see another like huge dip in the economy. I do think you're going to see something happen that you know, you're like, "Oh, that's not good." I'm not 100% sure what it's going to take. So all of that to say, I'm not the only one who sees this. As a matter of fact, everything that I see, I share with my employer. And, you know, if you read the news and know how to interpret it, you can see this stuff coming. And so I think for a lot of these companies, they're still in a wait and see kind of mode.
Yeah.
They're not going to, I mean, they're going to keep innovating. They're going to keep doing their thing because that's what they do. And you know, you'll get companies like Apple that, you know, they just put it out there and they'll sell it, which makes you wonder about the economy. But I think a lot of them are just kind of this, well, let's not make any crazy huge bets because the economy is not going to help us out. And that's one of the problems that HP has is, you know, it's struggling with this, you know, what do we do because the market we live in is shrinking and... And then on top of that, the economy is bad, which is accelerating the shrink.
Right.
And so we're not getting the benefit of the doubt anymore. And,
right.
You know, and so I think that's what – I think RIM's struggling. Well, no.
I was going to say – RIM is a different book. Let me say, let's bring this back to, like, some specific predictions. I think that's going to kill RIM this year. I mean, I honestly do. That is going to be – people are going to get iPad or BlackBerry 10. It's going to be a worse operating system than Windows Phone 8. And Windows Phone 8 didn't have any of the benefit of the doubt. It proved itself as a good phone, and it's a good operating system and is having a difficult time getting any traction, which tells me that if it's not a great, fantastic, blows-your-mind good operating system, it's not even worth the time. And BlackBerry – RIM does not have the time, finances to build an operating system that can have the sort of – that can get entrenched. It's done. This thing is baked. Let's take it out of the oven. And the economy is going to make it so that people don't want to mess around with it. They're not going to want to invest in it. They're not going to want to risk financially their personal money for an actual device or their business's money. They're going to just go with what they think will work and what's going to cost them the least, you know, in the long run.
That's interesting. I'm actually going – we're going to flip-flop this year. I agree that BlackBerry 10 is going to go nowhere. And, you know, that's just going to be sad. It's going to be like the playbook. But I also think that investors, for whatever reason, you know, it's not like they are going to have another great alternative to jump to. So they're going to hang on. I think the company is going to continue to hemorrhage and continue – to suffer and shrink and have problems, but they will still be around at the end of next year to our shock and amazement. I know. Well, how could you look at what happened this last year and they're still around? You know, well, clearly it takes more than that to kill a company. Jeez. And the playbook was just an utter failure.
It doesn't make any sense to me how they make any money. They don't. The problem is it's like it's been this accelerating thing. No, they don't. I was going to say, you can't lose money year after year, quarter after quarter after quarter, and still stay around as a company. It doesn't matter what your investors want. If there's no money being made, the company can't exist. Like, they're just going to file for bankruptcy. The only way that they'll make it to 2014 is if they file for bankruptcy and nobody buys them after that, which is possible. I suppose they could pull a Kodak.
Let me see
that's
here.
The only option.
So income statement, give me some. We could go quarterly, I guess. There's your net income. Oh, you're gonna be so upset.
What?
Oh, no. Okay, so no, you're not.
You say they didn't make money last quarter.
Yeah, they did.
What?
$9 million.
They had income last year, last quarter?
Mm-hmm. Or, this is hard to... Why is one of them 26 weeks, one of them 13 weeks? I don't get how this works. Yeah, so let's see here. In November of 2011, so last year, they made money. $265 million. Then in March, the quarter preceding that, they lost money, $125 million. In June, they lost even more, $518 million.
Right, I knew that.
Now this one is 26 weeks ending in September. So basically you add what happened. You add the 518 plus the other, and I don't understand why they did that, but it was a lot, like 753. But then if you come to, they just released it again the beginning of December, okay? They made $9 million.
Whoa,
now,
whoa,
the
whoa,
reason
wait.
Is...
Christmas?
Well...
They made $9 million during Christmas? Congratulations.
No. It's right before... No, it's right before Christmas.
Okay.
And December 1st.
Okay.
So, but if you look at their revenue, revenue is wicked down. Revenue is a little lower than what it was in that previous 13-week category where they lost 518. So the question is, and their gross profit was a little more. What I want to know, they cut a lot out of their operating expenses. The selling, general admin, they fired people. Here's a big one. Unusual expense. They had a huge one. They had a bunch of... Ooh, they actually had one. They had a bunch of unusual expenses in a row, and then this one was just small. What does it mean if you have regular unusual expenses? I don't know. Anyways, the point being, and how much cash do they have in a bank? That's the last thing that we care about. Because that will... they got like $1.9 billion. They could go a while. They could stay in business. It won't be pretty.
They lost $500 million one year.
Quarter.
One quarter, right?
Yeah.
That was $500 million, dude. In a quarter.
And they almost have $2 billion. And last quarter, they actually made $9 million.
They made nearly 1% of $1 billion. Not quite, but 1% of $1 billion. Because $1 billion is 1,000 millions.
Yeah.
So they made...
Yeah, but the hole didn't get any bigger. That's my point.
Yeah, okay.
And if they had to, they could convert some of their longer-term things in the short-term. I'm just saying. All I'm saying is I think they're going to stay around. And because they're...
Okay. You know what? Okay. You know what? If they go the path that Kodak has gone, you're right. They could survive. They could
survive. Or Palm, for that matter. Palm went on forever. Remember that?
I know. They could, if they're not going to get bought, I suppose there's really nothing to stop them from staying around for more years.
Well, and you asked this question last year, who would buy them?
Yeah.
Not Nokia, they're with Windows 8 now.
Yeah, not Microsoft. They're with Nokia.
Not Samsung, Google. Google's still messing around with Motorola. Apple, clearly no.
Yeah.
Not HP. I wouldn't sell to HP.
Yeah, seriously.
That was Palm finally had to get sold to HP to die.
maybe that's it. You know what? I'm revising. I'm going to have to listen to the end of the show because I'm revising. I agree with you. I think they're going to make it through 2014.
Yes.
Because, yeah, that's the question. If there's only two reasons why companies die, because they go bankrupt or because they get sold. But there has to be somebody to buy, and they don't have anything worth buying. That's crazy.
Yeah.
What a terrible company. Oh my goodness. Why would you work there if you worked there? Well, because you get a paycheck. That's why you'd work there. Jeez, that's miserable.
BlackBerry 10.
That makes me.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah. No, it's gonna be terrible. And they're gonna make it anyways. That's crazy. They're gonna make it. You're right. They're gonna make it through 2013. Ugh.
RIM is going to outlast the Mayans. It's kind of sad.
I know. It's really, truly is remarkable. Wow. Okay, that's fun. I think on a flip side, I think Facebook is going to get a lot of positive press this year. I think they're going to make money this year. and there was so much negative pressure attention. They got torn down. So they got tons of positive attention leading into the IPO. We built them up, and then the media, because this is what we do, we tore them back down through this. But the furlough bros have stayed strong on the reliability and maintainability of Facebook. I think they're going to come out with their ad networks. You're going to start to see that they're going to make money. I think their stock's going to raise this over the next year based on the fact that they're making money, even though there's no correlation.
Are you getting in on that, by the way?
No, because Facebook there's no shares? Correlation. Okay. There is no correlation between profitability and stock price. It's the stupidest thing in the world. It's crazy to me. The stock is dumb. But nonetheless, the Facebook price will go up because of this perceived reliability. You know, they've started putting in ads into your stream that show up on your mobile stuff, so they're making mobile money. Getting your YouTube money. I think you're going to start to see the conversation change over the next year about Facebook making money or not. Because I think it's out there. A lot of the drama is over. Now the real money people are going to start to look at it. And they're going to have there's not going to be – a lot of the hype is gone. It's the bottom. They're going to start growing. They're going to continue to do well. There's not going to be any of – they're the major incumbent with no recognizable competition on the horizon. And as much as we like to hear that their ads don't work, I got to believe their ads work a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
It's a fun joke to make. I joked about it on Twitter this week. But did you see that
tweet? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll give it to our audience. It's basically a picture of it was the book Facebook Marketing for Dummies, and I just tweeted that these are the only people making money off of Facebook marketing are people selling this book. But the truth is that they have a great product. A billion people use their website. They're figuring it out. It's slow. I get the feeling that it's sort of the Amazon deal. Amazon early on, people couldn't believe that they never made any money, but it was just it was a lot of hype and then playing around with their numbers. And they're making so much. They were making so many investments because money was so good. The income was so high. They were leveraging debt to expand their infrastructure. Well, that's not what Facebook's doing right now, but you sit there and you go, it's not like they don't have a great infrastructure. It's not like there's not potential. I think that there's so much negative press because it's fun to tear them down when they were at such a high. Now it's the realities here, and you're going to start to see that it's not a Google and they're going to be making gazillions of dollars for the next 20 years, but it's a good product. And There's still ad money to be made. So that's kind of what I could see them do now that they kind of got the IPO behind them. I could see them come out with a cool product or a cool innovation on Facebook. I don't think it's going to be hardware. I revised that completely from last year. Mark might start a company somewhere else that does hardware. It's not going to be Facebook though. Cause I think he likes hardware. But Facebook, you know, they'll come out with some cool new feature for the website or some portable whatever. I don't really know. I haven't really thought about it that much, what cool stuff they're going to do. But, you know, they make improvements every year, and they're going to continue. Everyone will probably be super angry about some minor design change that they make and how they ruined Facebook, and they should go back to the Facebook back when it was cool. Never acknowledging the fact that the site is vastly improved every year. They get rid of stuff that doesn't work and replace it with stuff that's awesome. So I don't get people sometimes, but
yeah.
This is my opinion on Facebook. I don't think they have anything to worry about in 2013.
Would agree.
Okay, cool. I don't know. What other companies do we usually talk about? Any cool new tech stuff?
That's what I was going to say. Any like technology trends, you think?
I think this year you're going to have to search for it, but I think this year you're going to see the f- first real quantum computing usage. It's getting to the point where the quantum computers that they're building are some big company, might be the government, might be a major infrastructure. They're going to find a reason to use a quantum computer, and they've gotten to the point where they're not just toys for labs anymore. They're actually capable of things, and I think this year you're definitely going to see that. It's going to be small. It's not going to be a big movement. It's not going to be Google. But I think you see your real first commercial or government military use of a quantum computer. And I think that 3D printers, you're just starting to see the beginnings of a new market. I don't think it'll ever replace the computer in its, how radically it changes our lives, but it's going to be the next car. I'm starting to believe that. That it's going to be as big of a shift in our cultural technological appreciation as the car was. And obviously it only will work because of the internet, which will always trump the personal computer will always trump it from that perspective. But it will also follow a similar trend as the personal computer. Well, and cars in general, that it's kind of this hobby. It started out as this major manufacturers could do it. They're extremely expensive. You've sort of hit this tipping point where now individuals are figuring out how to build it. People are excited about it, and you will continue to see the march towards bringing 3D printers into the household. You're not going to see any. I don't think you're going to see a major consumer product coming out of a new or existing company, but you're going to start to see the groundworks. We're going to look back at 2013 as the year that What's-His-Face met What's-His-Name, and they started What's-It-Called, which now, 20 years later is, a major company who, you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand.
I think that's what you're going to see with 2013, because it just feels a lot like the beginning of the personal computer industry, where you had real enthusiasts and hobbyists coming together, piecing these things together at great expense and difficulty, and barely able to make anything. Whereas at the same time, you've got NASA that's creating metal 3D printers that use lasers and are already sending them up into rockets. The technology is maturing enough to the point where it will soon, very, very soon, make sense for, for household use. And you just got to have the right marketer to tell you why you always needed this and didn't know it. And he'll be like Ford and Steve Jobs. Yeah, I think those are the two big ones. And obviously, I think automated driving, Google cars, that's going to continue to be a big zeitgeist. But I don't necessarily think you'll see anything huge, as in like moving outside of just people.
Cars move so slowly in terms of innovation.
Right. Exactly. It's
I think mobile is going to be kind of a big deal.
You're going with the safe predictions this year. I like it.
Yeah. I think that some sort of payment thing with mobile phones is going to start to gain more traction. Though, I mean, credit cards are pretty darn convenient. That'd be cool to see that. I also think you're going to see a higher focus in home technology.
Yeah, home innovation.
Yeah, I just think that that's something that is we're just on the tip of that one.
Philips Hue to me is, you've turned, the whole idea of smart light bulbs. That was the first level of real home innovation in the last century, was light bulbs, electricity. That's where it started. They didn't start with washing machines and refrigerators and, ovens, and they started with light bulbs. And then they moved into all the other electronic devices. And I think you're going to see intelligent houses move the same way. They're starting with light bulbs, and then they'll move on to, once you've set the groundwork and figured out how to do it the best way, that will set the precedence for the next device to take that step. Whatever that may be, whether it's, your temperature control or your toaster oven or whatever, but it's going to start with light bulbs, and it is starting. I think we've turned a corner, and you'll continue to see that march of innovation and the drive to get that, deeply integrated in your houses.
Yeah. And I think, obviously the Nest thermostat is a great example where you have something that's of human interface and helps you be more efficient. And so you start to, I'm like, would you see anything with a water heater? Nah, you don't really interact with that. So probably not. But I could definitely see some cooler things happening with washing machines and dryers, and with security features as well.
Cool. I think home security stuff is going to be a big one where that takes off early, where the idea of, that's all tethered to your, all of your home security is tethered to your iPhone or your Android or whatever,
Yeah.
That's going to be something that people will be willing to invest in, that sort of a thing, because now you can monitor your house from afar, and you can control your lights, and you can control your gas, and you can, and you'll start to see that, that's the march.
I would like to see technology playing a bigger role in people's health. I unfortunately think we're not going to see anything huge there.
I don't know.
There'll be iterative things, cool little devices that you can wear that'll help you track your data, whatever that is. I mean, those already kind of exist, and I think they'll just continue to exist and get marginally better. I don't think there'll be anything huge in that space. I don't think we'll see any flying cars or clothes that can advertise, with OLEDs. I don't think we'll see flexible phones and tablets, as flexible as paper at this point in time. I don't know. I feel like this is very much a year part of it has, once again, due to the economy, where a lot of companies are going to play it safe. They're going to iterate. Phones will get faster, smarter, that kind of stuff, of course, but they'll still be phones.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, ideas, opinions?
I would love to render those. I'm going to say, I would love to render those, but it is 10:40 at night, and if anybody has made it this far, I'm super appreciative, because at this point I feel like we're talking to ourselves, so I'm going to save it for next week if I come, honestly.
Yeah.
Because... I have hours of stuff to see. It's funny. We'll give you guys a little insight into how we work. We used to do this show before we started recording it and broadcasting it, but we would just sit on the phone and talk to each other. That was the genesis of this show. And for those of you who have made it this far, and we used to do this, we would just talk like this for, 3-4 hours, once, twice, once a week, or once every 2 weeks. And so it actually takes a lot of restraint to not talk this long, and to just ruin the illusion completely. We usually sit on the video chat an hour after the show, just talking about everything else that doesn't have to do with technology, which I'm sure we'll do again tonight.
Yeah, maybe.
It's what we do.
Yeah.
So thank you if you've listened this far. We really appreciate it.
Yes, definitely.
We hope it was informative and exciting.
Yeah. If not, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, really.
Or why are you still listening? How about that?
Yeah. You know what? If you're angry, tell everybody why you're angry and make people curious.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Very cool. All right, man. I'm gonna let everyone go. I'm James Furlow. My brother, who is right more often than he's wrong, is Matthew Furlow. And we'll talk next year.